Give glory and honor unto his precious name. Praise the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Tela mandali makori andamaniakaya. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You know, whenever we begin to look at Brother Cody so beautifully placed, the first mention, tradition. Jesus said in Mark 7:13, "You have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition." And now the word of the Lord has been so ignored. And if I was to break this down, you would think that I was fools or foolish. But the word of God will stand.
Amen.
Now, if you go with me, I'll show you something that you need to get down in your spirit. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, I'm not going to take all of these chapters and verses. I'm just going to use them to explain to you the laws, the burnt sacrifice, the meal sacrifice, the peace sacrifice, transgression sacrifice, and sin sacrifice, and how corrupt the world, church world, has gotten. Now, God always starts with what he loves first and best. God draws a map and tells you how you are to go. Then when God stops, man goes to track him back to where it began. And so in the first chapter of the book of Leviticus, he talks about the burnt offering. Now that's what God loves, because that signifies the crucifixion, Christ and him crucified. And you well know that God starts off Revelation 13:8, that he was crucified before the foundation of the world. See, before he called your name, he made the provision for you to come back to that burnt offering. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the burnt offering represents the crucifixion of Christ. Then we go to the second chapter, and it's the meal offering, or the meat offering. And let me just give you the all of them, and we'll start with where God left off and work ourselves back to the burnt offering. Now, when you get to that burnt offering, you're right there in the tabernacle of David. Praise God.
Amen.
And Brother Cody said that David evidently sat on the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that's simple. The Ark of the Covenant rested upon 700 pounds of pure gold. Oh, in numerology, I won't go into that. Pure gold is deity. And seven is the day he sanctified and rested from all of his labor. When you quit trying to work your salvation out according to what man has said, you can rest upon the deity of Christ. And then you can express the deity of Christ with your voice, because you can become his voice. Oh, hallelujah. Now in chapter 2 of Leviticus, you have the meat offering or the meal offering. Chapter 3, you have the peace offering. Chapter 4, the trespass offering. Chapter 5, sin offering. Now, the churches today, all you can hear, now, D.L. Moody instituted the altar call. And you said, don't you believe in an altar call? I believe the whole assembly is the altar.
Amen.
And you can get saved in any position that you are sitting in.
Hallelujah.
And you don't have to come to a certain place to do it.
Glory.
Well,
amen.
And you must learn that you yourself are an altar. You're getting quiet on me. And on that altar, you put your whole individual self. You become the altar. Well, let's look at the Word of God. In the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, I like the way it starts, but I don't believe we ought to live in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that's where the church is living. But you need to get out of that chapter. Now that chapter tells you that he bore our infirmities, our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Huh?
Come on,
how many of you remember reading that?
Yeah.
All right, if he's paid the price, then why do you want to keep on paying it?
Hallelujah.
Why does the church want to come and repeat all of these sacrifices when he's already done it? Well,
hallelujah.
How many of you believe that he paid the sin penalty?
Amen.
How many of you believe that he paid it for the whole world?
Amen.
The price has already been paid. Now, I can't help it if you're too... I started to say a word, but... I can't help it if you're so stupid to accept it. Is that plain enough? Not only that, but the Bible says he has reconciled the world unto himself. I can't help it if you're too stupid to accept it. If he paid the price for the sin of the world, it's done.
Right.
If he has reconciled the world unto himself, it's done.
Amen.
Well, what do we have to do to accept it? Believe that he's done it.
Right.
Who has believed our report? The church hasn't.
Right.
Glory. How many of you understand what I'm saying? The church has not believed Isaiah's report. Well, how many of you believe the sin offering has been paid for?
Amen.
And how many of you believe the transgression offering has been paid?
Yeah.
Do you believe it's paid it in full?
Yeah.
Well, hallelujah. Now, you said, but I've got to have peace. Well, he's already paid the price for peace. He is your peace. Ephesians 2 and 14, he is my peace. Now, if you don't own it, you reject it, you don't have it. He didn't say you had to be in a certain position to have peace. He said, I am your peace. He's my peace. If all hell's around me, he's still my peace. If everything's going wrong, he's still my peace. Well, glory to God. We are so bound by our little traditions that we can't even really walk in peace with God. A little bit of troubles bugs you and bothers you and upsets you.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Well, if you and I come into this tabernacle of David, we have to have peace.
Amen.
And peace controls your actions.
That's right.
Glory, glory, glory. Look at what Brother Cody was talking about on Mount Zion. Number one, David, in history, you got to know some history as well. You know, a lot of people are so religiosity, they can't enjoy anything. That's true. They can't enjoy anything. But you see, the thing that God is interested in, he don't want to restrict you from enjoying life.
Amen. Amen.
He just don't want you to go to the excess of it.
Right. Come on. Right.
Praise God. I hope you're strong enough to take some plain Bible teaching. I was in a church, a pastor's house in Florida, and I knew where they were coming from and what they were trying to get at. But some people go around their elbow to get back to the thumb, keep from trying to tell you what they're talking about. How many of you understand that? And so this person said to me, Brother McClure, what do you think about drinking wine? I said, I ain't telling you what I think. I'll tell you what the Bible said.
Okay, come on.
Paul said that you're supposed to take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And he said, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He didn't say it was a sin. Hello. He said, if you do it in excess, the flesh is going to suffer. If you get drunk, you're going to have a hangover. Oh, you can't. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So what? The church has substituted grape juice for wine.
Yes, right.
In the communion.
That's right.
I was at a church one time, they was having communion with grape juice, and I said to the pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do with substitute or not. What do you mean? I said, both have real wine. I said, well, we can't do that because there may be an alcoholic here and it'll throw them right back in a tantrum. I said, well, if you are delivered, you will never be in a tantrum. Because he does something, he does it right. I was an alcoholic, and God delivered me. And a little old thimble of wine ain't going to put me in no tantrum. Big as I am, I probably could drink a pint of wine and would throw me in a tantrum. Oh, glory. My sin has been paid for. My transgressions has been dealt with. And he has become my peace. Well, glory. Now that just leaves two sacrifices left before I can come to where he started. All right. Now these next two hinges on us. See, the meat offering or the meal offering had to be produced by individuals. Well, what in the world does that come to? It comes to your being faithful in tithing and in offerings. And when you can come into the fullness of giving to God without being an Ananias and Sapphira and wanting to hold back, then you are fulfilling the meat offering or the meal offering. And when you do that, you're ready then, glory to God. If God can get in your pocketbook, he can get in anything.
Hallelujah.
Well, because, oh, you'll even take your pocketbook out before you're baptized. And that's the very thing that needs to be ducked under the water. Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
I remember one time we was having a baptismal service at the river. Holy Spirit fell so that folks began to jump in the water. One man jumped in the water. Said, whoa, wait, I've got to get my pocketbook out. I said, come on, brother, pocketbook and all. The main thing is you want to take out what you want and don't want it to be baptized. Hallelujah. Okay. If you've stood with me thus far, you can go the last one. The last one is the burnt offering. And that simply says it's the whole thing. The whole thing be burnt.
Yes.
And it's to be burnt totally. Reduced to ashes. Then we hear Brother Isaiah come on the scene. And he said, the Lord will give you beauty. For what? Okay. You have to be totally consumed. Hallelujah. And then he'll take that ashes that's left and give you beauty. Now God is in the process of totally consuming us. Well, and when we are totally consumed, he'll give us beauty for ashes. And manifest us as sons of God in the world. That's what he's after. But if you're not willing to pay the full price, forget it. You're not going to be mature into the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So let's deal with these last two. The meal offering and the burnt offering. How far do you want to go? David built his house first. Now that 15th chapter, 1 Chronicles, has got one of the most perfect pictures of divine order that's in the whole entire Bible. Would you allow me to go through? In verse 1, you find where David was preparing a place. Well, are you reading with me? In the chapter 15, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent, David's tabernacle. But David's tabernacle cannot be entered in without preparing yourself to be placed in it.
Amen.
Now, this is so long drawn out in the scripture, you're going to have to understand. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 42, and verse 15, now when he had made an end of measuring the inner house. Now, what is he saying here is that God is going to measure the inner house. The house within the house has got to measure up to this preparing you to come into David's tabernacle. Are you reading with me? Is that what he said?
Amen.
So preparing a place, and how many of you understand the church is doing it wrong? The church is still in the sin offerings.
Right.
And the church is still in sacrifice, transgression offerings.
Amen.
They're constantly. But that's not what God's doing. He's measuring you to see if you are preparing your own inner house.
Yes.
And he's not talking about the outer dressings, the externalism, but he's talking about your spiritual, intellectual being measured. Oh, well, I could go over to Revelation and with a measuring rod, but I don't want to get in that. Then if you go down to chapter 43 in Ezekiel now, it says, first word said after. Oh, hallelujah. Are you reading with me? The first word says what?
After
you've been measured.
Amen.
After he's through measuring you and you have measured up, then he brings you
to the gate.
Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Now you're right back in the tabernacle.
Amen.
The gate. Oh, hallelujah. Well, what kind of a gate? That looks
toward the east.
That simply meant toward a new day. You're looking toward a new day. The sun rises in the east. that brings on a new day. Well, how many of you are looking for a new day? A new way of dealing with everything. Hallelujah. And you quit trying to deal with it yourself. It's a new day. My sins is dealt with. My trespasses is dealt with. Oh, glory. And I have my peace is Him. He is my peace. But now I've come to look at a new day. And I'm looking toward the east, the rising of a new day, a rising of the sun. Malachi said, oh, unto us that look for Him shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in His wings. Habakkuk said, ooh, hallelujah. And they saw Him with horns in His hands. The Hebrew means simply rays of light coming out of His hands to producing healing and restoration and bringing about the peace of God in manifestation. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And every one of you have it. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the light and the glory of God comes around you and out of your hands. Brother Cody was talking the other morning, yesterday morning, about laying on of hands. You don't understand how important hands and laying on of hands is. Raise your hands like that with the palms pointing out. You see, there has to be an opening for the anointing to come out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever felt or ever come running into something? What did you do? Come on. You put your hands up over your face.
Okay.
How do you do that? Not like this, but like that. Why? How do you do that? Simply because the opening is in the palm of your hand. Oh, glory to God. When I lay my hand, shake my hand, we are palm to palm. We're spirit to spirit.
Amen.
And our spirits become one.
Amen.
But instead of becoming one, we have a double portion.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
His spirit, my spirit, are moving into one flow.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. And when you begin to learn these things, and you won't learn these by books, you learn these things by experience.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. If I'm going into a strange congregation, I don't know the spiritual outpouring of it. I don't know what's going on. I'm a stranger to it. I will not go into that assembly, but just walking in. I've covered myself first. What do you mean, cover yourself? The palms of your hands are the openings of the Spirit. Then I've covered myself with the Spirit. Oh, glory. I like to demonstrate. That's what Paul said, do. Demonstrate what you're preaching. And I could get these elders and ministers up here. I could get either one of you. And we could stand around you and nobody touching you. Nobody touching you physically. And we could build a shield up around you that we could move you any way that we desired. I remember one time practicing this over at the church in Athens. Sister Louise Jordan was a school teacher, and she was awful hungry for God. Now, I know Peggy would remember this. And I got her up at the front of the church with the elders, and we began to build up an anointing around her. And then I told the motion, not saying nothing, because she didn't know what was going on, and her eyes was closed. She couldn't see anything. I motioned for the elders to withdraw their hands on the other side of her, and I began to push the anointing, and she began to go the way we were pushing, and she cried out, "What's happening to me?" Hallelujah. I motioned for the other elders to push and straighten her back up. Hallelujah. We had her leaning, impossible for her to maintain her balance. Hallelujah. Through the anointing of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I remember one time we had a lot of doubters in the church. This is in California. And so I wanted to demonstrate the anointing. And I began to shield myself like I told you a while ago. And I just built up a shield. And I said, "Would one of you munch old guys come up here?" And one of them walked up there, you know, looked like a motorcycle guy. I said, "Now hit me. Come on, hit me." He dropped back his hand. And about that far from me, he hit a blockade. He said, "What was that?" I said, "It's the anointing of God." Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. We are coming into one of the most miraculous powers and moving of the Holy Spirit you have ever witnessed in your life. You can't even imagine, hallelujah, the aura that's going around you and getting larger and larger. Glory be to God. You're going to see a moving of a visitation you've never saw before. It hasn't even entered your mind what God is going to do through this generation that He's raising up in this hour. Oh, hallelujah. But you see, when David built him a house, I haven't forgot where I was, preparing a place, then he tells you over in the book of Haggai, he said, "Is it fair that we live in our steely houses and God in that little old raggedy tent out there?" And David would hang his harp over in the north window of his house. The wind coming from Lebanon would blow in that window and make music on that harp that David had there. I don't see how in the world he even stood it. 1,000 voices praising God. Every hour they would change guards and another fresh 1,000 would come and praise Him. Praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. And the harp was playing with the wind blowing, and the wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now, neighbor, when we begin to get in that kind of an environment and atmosphere, we are preparing ourselves to come against every enemy. There's no enemy that can stand in your presence. There's no power that can endure. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, God laid it on David's heart. People, I wish you could understand. God, we live in so much far beneath our privilege. David started out with a little old shepherd boy, anointed of God, had no money. And then whenever it come time to build a temple, he gave over $5 million. Glory. At least even more probably. To build the house of God. God said, you can't do it. Why? You're a man of war. You ain't going to do nothing because you're warring with one another. God ain't going to allow you to come into the completeness of Him until you quit warring with one another. Oh, hallelujah. And that war consists not of battle weapons, but with your tongue. With your tongue and your actions. You're not preparing yourself. God has dealt with me so, hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean this boastfully, God knows, but God has showed me that if you want to move in, you've got to learn how to give everything to Him.
Amen.
I'm talking about giving just nothing. Now, He wants you to have everything. He wants you to be blessed. But He wants you to use it as if you have nothing. Praise God. I just had bought a new Cadillac one time, and a fella come up over in Texas and said, aren't you afraid somebody will scratch that car? I said, brother, if I was afraid of that, I'd get me a nail and go all the way around it. Scratch it all over. It ain't mine, no way. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Don't you get selfish with what God has blessed you with. Well, let's read on. There's a lot of preparation here. Preparing a place. Well, I went over to Ezekiel, didn't I? Let me read here. And after, oh glory, verse 1, chapter 43. Read, Bob.
Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looketh toward the east.
Now, after you have been measured, and then he said, afterward. See chapter 42 and verse 15. He measured the inner house. Then after he had measured up the status, come down to verse 1, chapter 43. Afterward, after you measured up, he brought me to the gate looking eastward. I don't know whether you can stand verse 2 or not.
Amen. And behold, the glory of God, the glory of the God of Israel, came from the way of the east.
God's glory is coming. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. You think a little praise and worship, well, it ain't worship, it's just praise. And if praise ever turns into worship, It'll bring forth the glory. And the glory of God will put you on your face. And you'll quit your dancing and hollering. And you'll begin to do like we did here yesterday. Oh, hallelujah. We'll stand in holy quietness. And God will begin to break us and we'll weep. We'll weep and we'll begin to feel a moving of the Spirit like we've never felt it before. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And something else is going to happen.
And his voice was like the noise of many waters.
Hallelujah.
And the earth shined with his glory.
That's it. The glory of God's going to make you shine.
Amen.
You are the earth. And you're going to shine, hallelujah. Radiate the Shekinah glory.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Would you allow me to show you what shining he's talking about?
Yes.
17th chapter of Matthew. And it says, and after 6 days, what comes after six?
Seven.
It's the seventh day from Adam. It's the third day from Christ.
Amen.
It's the same thing.
That's right.
And it came to pass after 6 days.
After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother.
How many disciples did Jesus have?
12.
How many did he have?
12.
Well, then why in the world did he just take three? Oh, God has no respect to person. Baloney.
Come on.
God always respects them that's measured up.
Right.
Yes.
Praise God. Now listen to this. Why did he take Peter, James, and John? Those three had their names changed. Name means nature. If you had your nature changed, God has respect to you. You are highly favored. And you are highly favored because you have been accepted in the beloved.
Hallelujah.
And when he got into the, well, let's read that. This is so important. People don't, they just scan through it.
And bringeth them up into an high mountain apart.
Now the high mountain is the height of the kingdom.
Yes.
Daniel 2 tells you
yes.
that stone become a mountain and fill the whole earth.
Amen.
The kingdom is going to take over the whole earth.
Right.
Praise God. But you can't get in that kingdom until you measure up.
Amen.
And when you... Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm getting in this. It's expanding too much on me.
Hallelujah.
And so he brought them up into a high mountain, apart.
Amen.
You're not going to be part of this system. He's going to bring you into the kingdom apart.
Amen.
And then what happened?
And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the
that
sun.
That is the shining again. Oh, glory to God. You don't, I tell you, I get so aggravated at preachers today. I just get mad sometimes. How stupid they are. You can hear them on the television. And they'll tell you, be careful now. You can't talk to the dead. Ecclesiastes says the dead knoweth nothing. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses teach. But I'm here to tell you, the dead does know something. God is fixing to call a man been dead 2,500 years.
Amen.
I can see him as telling Gabriel, go get Moses. I got to talk with him. And then they say the dead know it, nothing. And here stood Moses, been dead 2,500 years, talking about future events. Jesus only people in Meridian, Mississippi one time, and a brother come up to me and said, are you Jesus only? I said, no, but I wished I was.
Yeah.
There's too much McCurry in me. Well, hallelujah. I'd love to be only him.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Ooh, hallelujah. So, I believe Jesus said, Gabriel, go get Moses. Bring him down that ladder. I want to talk with him.
Hallelujah.
And Elijah and Moses stood on. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
The prophet and the lawgiver standing there talking to him. Moses. I believe what Moses was saying, Lord, you remember when you brought us out of Egypt?
Hallelujah.
Lord, you remember when we bankrupted Egypt?
Amen.
That we brought all the gold out of Egypt. The silver. Oh, hallelujah. And how that you trained us how to make cords of silver or threads of silver and threads of gold. That the special gifted counselors could embroidery beautiful embroidering work in our garments. Oh, how can I get that? Go through the afflictions victorious.
Amen.
Don't let it affect you.
Hallelujah.
And every time you overcome, the Holy Ghost takes threads of silver and threads of gold and embroiders a beautiful emerald on your garment.
Yeah.
The more you go through, the more beautiful your garment is. And if it works that way, what in the world you dread trials for?
Amen.
What? It's just beautifying you.
That's right.
Praise God forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The glory of God shined around him. Peter, James, and John, even though their nature was changed, woke up with a fading glory when that glory was fading from him. And with a fading glory, and you can tell whenever your glory is fading. Listen to this. The first thing Peter said when he woke up, let's build three tabernacles. Oh my God. Building, 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 building. You're walking in faded glory.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Not only that, they wanted to build three tabernacles.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But a cloud come over.
Mm-hmm.
And God said out of that cloud, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The cloud passed, and they saw no man save Jesus only. When you get your eyes on him, you'll lose sight of building. You'll have a workable vision.
Yes, amen.
You won't go to the extremes in the millions of dollars trying to outdo somebody else.
Amen, yes.
Your vision will be workable.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And if you have a workable vision, you're not putting a burden on nobody.
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and so when our earth begins to shine,
yes,
we are seeing only Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We lose sight of everything else. The glitter, the glory, it all belongs to Him.
Amen. Amen, yes.
Hmm.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you see where we are coming to?
Amen.
Amen, yes.
Hallelujah. Now when we go back over to the book of 1 Chronicles 15. You know, I could say Chronicles 1. You know, that's the way you English folks do. Samuel 1. But Chronicles 1, chapter 15. Hallelujah. The first thing is preparing a place that place can become a shining with the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. Now in verse 2, we're returning to the pattern. Hello? You wanna read this and mark it in your Bible? This is the second thing that has to be done when we are returning to the original pattern. Divine order.
Amen. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites.
Now, we are all carriers of His presence, but in reality, the Levitical priesthood is to carry the literal ark or the anointing of God.
Amen.
You have a ministry, but it's not a pulpit ministry.
Yes.
Pulpit ministry is a spatial office.
Yes.
And if you don't honor the office, not the man or the woman,
Amen.
You're not honoring me. If I'm in the office of an apostle, you're honoring the office.
Yes.
And I'm only in that office when I am operating in the anointing, fulfilling that office.
Hallelujah.
You don't worship or honor individuals. You're honoring the office they're operating in.
Amen.
And they're only operating in that when the anointing is there.
Amen.
There's no such a thing as apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. It's Him dividing Himself to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I've always been humble when the Lord allows me to operate in the office that He is sharing with me.
Amen.
I have more sense than to say it's my office.
Hallelujah.
He's just allowing me
Amen.
To use it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to His name.
Same principle with the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
They're not really gifts. They're a manifestation of that Spirit that He has shared with you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hebrews 3 tells you this. Wherefore, holy brethren.
Yes.
Well.
Hallelujah.
Come on. How many of you understand that this is what's divided the body of Christ? This is what has brought chaos to the church world.
Amen.
For one is claiming this and another claiming that. Hallelujah. Get the emphasis off of gifts and get it on Him.
Yes.
And when you put the emphasis on Him, He'll operate through you.
Yes.
And you won't have anything to do with it.
Hallelujah.
He'll direct you. Well,
glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And sometimes He'll scare you almost to death. I remember one time I was riding down Interstate 20 this side of Shreveport, Louisiana, and I was doing the speed limit, maybe more, I don't know. I was maybe copying Andrew. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, make this exit. I know nobody in that exit. What do you want me to do this for? Make this exit. You get up to the road, turn to the left. And after you cross the bridge, turn to the left. And went down a little shopping center. He said, go in that novelty shop. I ain't never been in a novelty shop. Nothing in there I want. He said, me go in there. I go in there. And there's a lady in there, broken and weeping. And I went in and I said, ma'am, can I help you? Nobody can help me. And the Spirit told me, daughter, you're weeping over your brother. You've just got word that he died in a plane crash. But he's not dead. Hallelujah. He's alive.
Amen.
Go and call the information number. And she did. And I heard her, and most everybody in that shopping center could have heard her. And the operator said, your brother's not dead, he's alive. Oh, glory to God. She came out and said, thank God for a prophet. I wasn't no prophet. God just breathed upon me. Praise God. Sitting in Roosevelt Hotel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Snow on the ground, and my God, I wished I'd back south. I was sitting there reading the paper, and all of a sudden, something was just burning through that paper. I looked, and it was a woman sitting over there. She began with the weeping. I said, lady, what are you weeping for? My husband's dying. He's been in a coma for 6 months. I said, go call your husband's room. He's just come out of the coma.
Glory.
And he's going to live and not die. She ran to the telephone, called the hospital. Her husband answered the phone and said, well, honey, what's wrong? I tell you, this God we're serving, you get out of that old defeated attitude and begin to walk in these wonderful promises that's already been paid, and you already have these promises, and all you're doing is fulfilling the meal offering to get back to the burnt offering where you can become a manifestation of the sons of God. Now you have to make preparations to get this place. Well, glory. And so this place, the next one is divine order. Get in the office that God has placed you and stay there. Until God elevates you to the next height. Oh, hallelujah. And the way God elevates you is He starts off with a deacon, from a deacon to an elder, from an elder into the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. And he begins to share ministry with you. But he'll never share anything with you as long as you are sitting down and not trying to do something. Well, glory. Well, when we read the next verse, amen. This is plurality ministry. Verse 3.
And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it.
Not only is plurality ministry here, but unity. And you will find the fivefold ministry mentioned in Ephesians until he calls you to unity in verse 3. And it said there, endeavoring or going against yourself to keep the unity of the Spirit. In other words, don't be so aggravated that you have to have your own way. Whatever. I wish people could learn. Not that I've learned everything. I'm still learning. But they, in latter rain, they taught us some things. And they didn't even realize what they were teaching. I remember when rain fell, and the way we operated then is personal prophecy came forth. I remember very well, personal prophecy came forth and told this brother, you have got healing in your hands. Well, the service was over. The pastor said, I want everybody that's sick, come up here. The brother's going to lay his hands on you. God said he had healing in his hands.
Amen.
God said it. He's got it. Amen. If it don't work, he don't have it.
Amen.
Picking no bones about it. Bless God. If it don't work, you don't have it. Now, if we put people on a spot like this, we're going to see a change in our church services. Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
And I believe with all my heart that the heavenly choir is coming back to the church.
Amen.
That's not your beating a drum or you playing loud music. You won't have to. If the heavenly choir spirit comes upon you, glory to God. I remember being in a convention one time, this was years and years ago, and there was about 8 or 9, maybe 10 or 12 of us, I don't know how many now, but we was laying there and we were all on our face weeping puddles of tears. The organ began to play and nobody's sitting on the organ. And the choir began to sing and no choir was there, a heavenly choir. Well, you know how Pentecostal folks are. After every service, they go out and eat. If they can find anything open. We are well blessed in America because we got all night restaurants. Praise God. But the pastor and one of the apostles, Brother Rinaldo McLeod from Portland, Oregon, not Oregon, Maine, came in and they heard the choir. They heard the organ louder than they'd ever heard it. The pastor got mad. Who is down there playing and singing like this, waking everybody up? We're sleeping in the basement of the church. He came down to give us a rebuking. But when he opened the door, the glory of God hit him and knocked him to his feet. He crawled up there to where we were praying. Oh, hallelujah. And all night long we wept and we prayed. Long about 4 o'clock in the morning, Holy Ghost began to speak. You've come to the 11th hour, just before the closing of the gate. I won't never forget this. And he said, I've called you into a Christian fellowship, and it shall be called Worldwide Christian Fellowship. Ah, glory. We was eating dinner the next day. Brother Ivan Q. Spencer, founder of Elam Bible Institute, had drove all night to get to Atlanta. He came in and he said, we was all sitting at the table eating. He said, brethren, I got a word from God for you. He said, last night as I was driving down from New York, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I heard a conversation that he was speaking to you here in Atlanta, that I've called you into a Christian fellowship. And he said, I want to extend to you the courtesy of using Elam Bible Institution until the papers can be drawn up and you can become legally Worldwide Christian Fellowship. Now, neighbor, when you get a confirmation like that from a word from God, you know. Oh, hallelujah. And the first year of that fellowship, we give $150,000 to missions. And so the enemy is not pleased with that. Well, that we done that before we formed this fellowship. Hallelujah. But then the enemy got on. How many of you understand the enemy works in two main directions? Number one, if he can stop you from your giving, he succeeded. And if he can't do that, he can get you mixed up with illegal sexual activities. And most of the time it's an unnatural thing. Well, I won't go into that. Yeah, it gets quiet when you get on money or on sexual activities. Amen. They go together.
That's the truth. Okay, now.
They go together. And, of course, you know, I was on the official capacity of that worldwide fellowship, but I was the vice president, and whenever this happened, the president at that time got involved with homosexuality, and I just had went to Athens, Georgia, and the church called me and wanted me to take over that church, and oh, it was a big church, just built a 5-bedroom home, and it looked so promising, because I was living in a house that had to jack up the table to even keep the salt and pepper shaker on it. It was very enticing. But God said, no, I've got you where I want you. And I turned them down. And then the preacher that they did call got word that they wanted me before they did him. And he turned against me and I was his enemy and I hadn't done a thing to him.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. Jealousy. Amen. Yeah. And so he began to lie on me and I went to see him. See, I'm not one of these fellows that hide. I'll come and face you if I got something to say to you.
Come on.
And I explained the situation to him. I said, I don't want the church. I had it offered to me, but I don't want it. You have to pay me to live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I don't think you got enough of money.
Amen.
Well, but what I wanted to show you is this. God places you where He wants you and not where everything's going good. And that's a preparation to bring you into a place where God wants you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when you move in to divine order, you can trust in God. He'll bring to pass what He said.
Amen.
I've been believing God for a promise for over 40 years. And now it's beginning to come to pass.
Glory.
Ain't no way that I could do it all by myself. That's the reason God's raising up ministry in our assembly that will have to carry on the work, because when this thing breaks out, it's going to go 24 hours a day.
Hallelujah.
7 days a week.
Glory
to God.
Amen.
And so as David had to change praisers every hour, what do you think God's raising up so many of these young ministers for?
That's right. Amen. Right.
And they wondering, what in the world are you doing with me, Lord? He's preparing you.
Hallelujah.
He's preparing you. Because everybody's going to have a job to do.
Yes.
And you're going to have to fit in your place.
Yes.
And it's not just men, it's women also.
Yes.
They'll have the same anointing.
Yes.
But they have to measure up to the measurement.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you cannot be faithful, you are disqualifying yourself.
Right.
You see, people don't realize that. If God's placed you in a certain place, you have to be faithful in that position.
Amen.
Until you see the Ark of the Covenant and the Levites carrying it, which is divine order, leave your place and follow after the anointing. Well, oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And that anointing is divine placement by the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. But you must learn, if you receive a prophecy that you are to do a certain work for God, doesn't mean you're going instantaneous into it. You have to prepare yourself. And then eventually when you hit that proper place, you'll shine like the earth.
Amen.
Yeah. Or you will find yourself shining like Jesus when He was transfigured. Glory to God. And that didn't happen until He was in the high mountain in the top of the kingdom. Glory to God. And the kingdom is going to take the whole world.
Amen. That's right.
Well, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so when we began to look at this. Amen. And verse 4 says, and David assembled, read Bob.
And David assembled the children of Aaron and his Levites. And the Levites.
Now how many of you understand? First of all, he called a fivefold ministry up. Aaron had four sons.
Right.
And Aaron himself made five. Fivefold ministry has to come together. And then father ministry has to be the leaders to bring the ark back to its resting place in the tabernacle of David. And then when you come into the tabernacle of David, the ministry goes into effect in the 15th chapter of Acts, where they was having a council of apostles and elders, and they brought Paul and Barnabas up because they had violated the traditional teachings, because James was the pastor and he wanted to reinstate Judaism.
That's right.
My God. Now this is what makes me sick. I go into a church and they want to reinstate Judaism instead of Christianity. And the church world knows nothing about Christology. Christology. Oh, glory. How many of you understand what the term I'm using? I'm talking about the Spirit of God, the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Christology is something that needs to be taught and retaught until it becomes a reality within your spirit. Then you'll begin to be so sensitive. You'll be, oh, hallelujah. And all these inventions is coming on. How many ever remember when FM come in existence? FM radio. You had to have that fine-tuned, direct on the channel, and then you would get the clearest music. Amen. That was available. If you ever learn to fine tune the spirit, you're going to get a clear voice from God. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit's telling me you're going to see over the hill and around the curve, and nothing's going to slip up on you. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Kings, about blind Ahijah. He's blind, literally blind. In the days of Jeroboam, you know about Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Jeroboam split Israel. And the reason he did that, he ignored the old men's counsel and followed the young men's counsel. But you're going to always need father ministry.
Amen.
If you ever come to maturity.
Amen.
You may ignore it, and that's your prerogative. Praise God. Well, Jeroboam's daughter was sick, nigh to death. Jeroboam told his wife, and listen to this, disguise yourself. Well, he's already blind. My God, he can't see. What did he want her to disguise herself for? And she did. She disguised herself and she went over the mountain, down through the valley, and up on the hill where blind Ahijah's house was. She put her foot upon the step, and he swung the door open and said, "Come in, thy wife of Jeroboam." A blind prophet and a disguised woman, and still she was known. And he told her, see, she come there to get her daughter healed. He said, "Now when you go back and when you put your foot in the gate, your daughter's going to die. Don't you know that was a slow trip home?
That's right.
Don't you know that was a slow trip home? And you and I are living in one of the most dangerous eras of the history of the world. You, what do you mean dangerous? Dangerous on one side, glorious on the other side. Well, I hope and pray and believe that you're on the glory side. Darkness in Egypt and light in Goshen. No plagues in Goshen.
Hallelujah.
Ah, glory. I got a word for you. There will be no touching kingdom people regardless of the situation of the world. The economy could collapse. It won't affect you if you're in the kingdom. It will not affect you if you're in the kingdom. Where other folks are losing their job, you'll get raises.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, glory. Now, I could prophesy that. That's a prophetic word. You need to realize that what we are doing in this convention is not accidental, but it's an eternal word. Glory to God. And you're going to walk in an eternal word. Every word, well, glory. Every word that God's ever spoke is still in existence.
Hallelujah.
I was talking to a scientist one time. I was flying to a convention, and he didn't give me a chance. He just opened up and said, "You know, I'm a scientist." I said, "Well, that's great. Wonderful." And about that time, they just discovered that everything that you see was brought from things that's not seen. And he said, "What do you do?" He had already told me he didn't believe in the Bible. He did until he went to the university. And then he asked me, "So what do you do?" I said, "I advocate the book you don't believe in. I preach it." Oh. He said, "Well, I used to believe in it. Before I went to the university," I said, "Why didn't you read a little further? You wouldn't have had to go 8 years to the university." "What are you talking about?" "Well," I said, "if you'd have read the first three verses in the Bible, or the first two verses, it would have told you all the basic foundations of science." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah. The basic elements of science is time, force, matter, motion." "Well," I said, "is that right?" "Yes, that's exactly right." I said, "Well, look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, time, God, force, created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter, and the Spirit of God moved." That's motion. "Oh, I never saw that." I said, "Well, it's been there." Then he said, "Well, it ain't in there about everything you see was come from things that's not seed. I said, well, you didn't read Romans 1. And I flipped over there and read it. Everything that is visible came from things that are invisible. He said, anything else in there about science? I said, everything you want to know. And I had a real good discussion with him. And we landed over in Dallas, Texas. He said, let me buy you dinner. I said, well, if they are not here to meet me, I'll be glad to have lunch with you. They wasn't there. So I went and had lunch with this scientist. And we ordered our meal. And they brought it and he started. I said, I don't do nothing unless I pray. And I began to pray. And when I said amen, he said, no, just a squalling. I've never saw nobody like you. I said, I don't guess God made but one. God helped the world. I said, God helped the world if there were two. But he said, would you please pray for me? I said, yes, sir. I reached over and got him by both hands, and I began to pray. Holy Ghost come down. And the first thing you know, God had saved him and filled him with the Spirit. We were sitting there, and he's speaking in tongues, and we were praising God. Hallelujah. And God's got another servant on the run.
Amen.
Amen.
Neighbor, let's get together and come into divine order.
Yes.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. I ain't got time to do all of this. But from verse 5 through verse 11... is the urgency of the hour. Hallelujah. And you can read that and find out. And verse 12 starts off, the chiefest of fathers. Praise God. And it's going to take the chiefest of the fathers to bring us in to the tabernacle of David. Praise God. And I know you don't like to hear old men and women talk so much. But I'm here to tell you, you'd better hear the voices of experience. Because there's some things you have to learn by experience. And there's things that God has planted down here that I've never told a soul. Because it wasn't time. But I do remember, let me tell you this, and I'm closing. I was in India. I don't remember now what year it was, but it was the year that God lined up seven planets for the first time, and everybody was predicting the end of the world. And here I am, 10,000 miles from home, and they're saying the end of the world's coming. I went to my room in the hotel. I was in Hyderabad, India. And laying on my face, I said, God, this is not the end. He said, son, listen to this. He said, son, remember, the end of one thing is the beginning of something else.
Amen.
And I hadn't been released to preach the kingdom. Brother Bill Britton and I came into this revelation of sonship at the same time. And we used to discuss it on the fire escape. They wouldn't let us do it in the church. Had to get outside to do it. And God said to me, he said, the end is not the end of the world, but the end of you holding back the kingdom. I release you to preach it. Since that day laying on my face, I accept nothing but the kingdom. If it's not spirit, it's not kingdom. That transformed my life. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to hear anything that the Spirit's not behind. It'll hinder you. It might be the most popular thing going on, but if it's not spirit, get out of it. Get out of it. They may have the best singing in the world, but singing is not going to do it. You heard Brother Cody said praise can't do everything. 15th chapter of Judges and the 63rd verse simply says that Judah could not cast out the Jebusites. Praise God. They had laid the blind, the lame, and the sick, and everybody that was afflicted in the path of David and his men. And David told his men, you that go over these men and blind, see, you have to lose that old sympathetic spirit, that old sympathy spirit.
Yeah.
And that's not according to the church rule. Load them down till they get enough of the Holy Ghost to come over it. David said, every one of you that go over it, I'm going to make you a chief.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In actuality, he said, I'm going to make you an elder. Yeah. So the first thing elders have to do is to lose that old sympathy spirit.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And move in the realm of the Spirit. Now, do you see why God don't call everybody to be elder and elderess? They got that old humanistic spirit in them. Feeling sorry for everybody. You've got to learn that nothing happens to you by chance, and nothing has happened to you, only that's common among men. Somebody's worse off than you are. I don't care how bad and how low you get, somebody's worse than you. Hallelujah. It's like the old story. The guy was complaining because he didn't have no shoes until he saw individuals that didn't have no feet. My God, what do you rather have? Shoes or feet? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I remember ministering in Africa, and the enemy was trying to put malaria fever on me. And it got so bad that I couldn't focus my sight, and I couldn't maintain my balance. You know, the African brethren and sisters, they want everybody, they want hands laid on them. With putrefying sores and all. It's so unsanitary, you know. And this particular time, the whole village had come out to lay hands on them, and I couldn't hardly stand up. I had to hold on to a tree, a small tree, to even to be able to stand up and pray for these people. And I looked up, and here come a club-footed woman. Her foot had grown up to her a leg, and she come before me. I reached out to lay hands on her, and that foot turned loose and become normal, and malaria left me. Hallelujah. I went on up to Uganda, and I picked up my mail, and a little lady from Meridian, Mississippi had wrote me a letter, and she said, this morning, early in the morning, God had me praying for you. And she said, I saw God healing you when you laid your hands on that woman and her foot become normal. She's in Mississippi. I'm 10,000 miles away. And she knows what's going on. Now let me ask you something. Who do you think's going to get stars in their crown? Me that laid my hand on that woman? Or that little lady that was woken up in the middle of the night, rolled out of her bed and began to pray for me? I say, God, give her all the glory. Give her all the honor. Oh, hallelujah. Because of the obedience. Neighbor, how many of you want to be obedient to God? Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? Get rested a little. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to surprise you. I'm not taking up no offering. Praise the Lord.
Brother, they've come willing to give. To give abundantly. I'm going to disappoint them.
Hallelujah. Well, all the willing folks want to come and give. My Father. And he that is willing. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I bless you. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord had made.
If we give and don't hurt, it doesn't work.
Got to give till it hurts.
Give till it hurts. It's impossible to do it. The more you give, the more he bless. It never will hurt. But thank God. Oh, it hurts us sometimes. Hallelujah. He's coming up here $1,000. Now think of that. This is a treasure he knows. Is that right? How many of you know that has to be a miracle? That has to be a miracle. Well, glory.
Glory.
And yet, there's no telling what's going to happen the rest of the meeting. Praise God.
Amen.
But I can tell you one thing, I'm going to be in it.
Amen.
Anybody else want to come and give?
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
All right, Brother Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bless you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's great, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, something that you said.
Yeah.
Well, sit down. You need to sit down.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down.
You do. You know, a thought came by that you said was, we can be in a kingdom church, but we may not be living the kingdom.
That's right.
And, you know, folks, you may be in a kingdom church, but you're going to have to learn to live kingdom lifestyle. You know, just because you're in a kingdom church does not mean you're a kingdom person.
True.
You know, there has to be a transformation.
Yes.
From the caterpillar to the butterfly. You know, there has to be that complete change in you. That change of your thinking, that change of your understanding.
That's exactly right.
And that you will come into the fullness of the real kingdom. Hallelujah. Total change. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, just because you're in a kingdom church, you see, it doesn't matter what church you're in, you can live in a garage, but you're not a car. You know, you can live in a kingdom church, but you're not a kingdom person. It means that you have to change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's tough.
How true.
But you have to change. God ain't going to do it for you.
No.
You have to change. Hallelujah. Not stealing anything, are we, Fred? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to dismiss and have a bit of free time and just thank God. You've got so much to chew on, you know, you're already fat and flourishing and...